Grace and peace to you in God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Amen. Friday night, I stood in my living room next to our beautiful Christmas tree, and I said to Lee, let's just keep this up all year, or at least all month. I know I'd be tired of it by July, but every Christmas season, one of my favorite things is to sit in my living room and look at the beautiful lights on the tree. It's been true since my kids were young and enchanted by the tree lights. I love to sit there and read my novel and do whatever I do. Then I got up yesterday morning and heard the news. The United States had bombed Venezuela and taken its president. Trump announced that the United States will run Venezuela for the near future, not even pretending that it's about anything but oil and financial interests. It felt like a punch to the gut, and it left me shaky all day. After about an hour of consuming news reports about the attack and the president's speech, I got up and started to put away Christmas decorations. The stockings, the dishes, the advent calendar, it all felt wrong somehow. There is no part of me that feels like celebrating. But here's the thing. In the calendar of the church, it is still Christmas. Not the holly jolly Christmas of American culture, but the Christmas of church and faith and scripture. The word of God became flesh and came to dwell among us, full of grace and truth. The light of God, which still shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Our reading today is still in the first chapter of John, 3 weeks in a row now, in that first chapter. Like an overture to an opera or a musical theater, which introduces all the melodic themes to come, the first chapter of John introduces themes that John will develop in his story of Jesus. Themes of light and life, themes of bearing witness, and what it looks like to be a disciple. The first character in John's gospel is John the Baptist, who tells about the Savior who is coming and will be the Lamb of God. Those first identifications of Jesus tell us that he is the eternal word and wisdom of God made flesh, and that he will die, the Passover lamb who delivers us from sin. One thing that happens a lot in the book of John is dialogue that works on two different levels. There's kind of what they're saying up here and talking about, and then there's this like theological conversation going on underneath that leaves you like, oh, wow. In this story, two of John's disciples follow Jesus, and they say to him, "Where are you staying?" Now, Jesus has come from Nazareth to the region of Judea where John is baptizing and preaching. And so it makes sense that they might want to know where he is staying. But the verb John uses here is not one that just means where are you sleeping, where are you tenting, where are you putting up your tent. It is the verb meno, to stay, to remain, to abide. I see some of you maybe a little bit of nodding like, oh yeah, John, abide, here we go. On a deeper level, the disciples ask, where do you dwell? Where do you abide? And we know that for John, Jesus is the one who abides in God always. Jesus invites them, come and see. The disciples follow Jesus and they see where he is staying, the place in Judea where he is sleeping and eating. And they remain, meno, with Jesus. Over time, they will come to see and come to know that Jesus abides in God, and that Jesus invites them also to abide in God by staying with and following Jesus. Already, John is showing us that disciples are the ones who abide in God and God in them. So friends, where are we staying? I will admit this morning that I am staying in a lot of anxiety. Anxiety for our nation, our democracy, and the well-being of people who rely on government assistance for food security and health care. Anxiety for my young adult children and the world they will live in. Anxiety for my aging parents. Anxiety now for our soldiers sent to battle on foreign soil and for all whose lives and livelihoods are threatened by warfare around the world. I am staying in anger. Anger over the illegal and callous actions of our government. Anger over our betrayal of immigrants and asylum seekers who have come to our country, followed our laws, done what they were asked, and are being detained and deported. Anger over corruption, which no longer even hides its face. I am staying in grief and sadness and fear and so many other things. And I think I'm not the only one. And so I need this morning to hear the invitation of Jesus, come and see. Come and see what it means to be a disciple following in the footsteps of the one who is the Lamb of God and the light of the world. Come and see the heavens opened and God come among us as a human person, filled with love and grace and truth. We are invited this second Sunday of Christmas to abide in Christ who is God with us, and then to bear witness to this Christ. Bear witness to a Savior who is not the Savior of our nation or our race or our class, but Savior of the whole world, who loves outcasts and cares for the poor. Bear witness to a faith that does not exclude LGBTQIA neighbors or make women second-class citizens, but embraces all with love and welcome, affirming that all people are made in the image of God. Bear witness to a church that is not for our own comfort and in service to ourselves, but is a community centered in Christ, serving the world. Bear witness to a God who invites us to abide, not in anxiety, but in hope and in love and in the light. I want to share a simple story from one of my Lutheran leader mom's friends on Facebook, because it is about living as disciples and bearing witness and experiencing hope. And because it made me laugh, made me smile when I needed to smile this week. It is a post by Pastor Kirsten Strangeland Moore, who lives in Sacramento, California. And she begins her post with a content warning, run-on sentences, smiley face. So this is how she wrote it. So, I was really annoyed because this woman who's been worshiping with us for 15 years on and off, but had mostly stopped when I started, rumor has it because I'm a woman, but with us pretty solidly for the past 18 months, but never wanted to officially join or be baptized or even talk about it because she was raised Pentecostal, is being moved to Arizona to be with family tomorrow. And due to circumstances, was in rehab this week, but no visitors allowed. We were finally given permission for people from the church to come say goodbye, but only today, New Year's Day, at 10 a.m. Like none of us have anything else we want to do on New Year's Day, like be with my family or maybe sleep in. Anyway, after we got there, Molly surprised me and asked me to baptize her. Y'all, I just baptized a 101-year-old woman. The Holy Spirit is going to be full of joyful surprises this year. And I did ask Kirsten, and she gave me permission to share her story with you. After the season of Christmas, we enter the season of Epiphany, the season of light and the revelation of Christ to the world. And my Christmas tree is still up, still shining as a reminder to me that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness does not overcome it. I think I'll keep it up for a while to remind me where to abide this year. In Christ, in love, in light, and in hope. Thanks be to God. Amen.